Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on This Needs to Be Said. This is your host, Catherine Waddell, and today we have a great bankruptcy attorney with us, and he's going to help you get over not just resetting your life, but how to get over the emotional part of bankruptcy. Some of us would feel a little guilty, but as we continue our conversation on today, you're going to see that it's not so bad, and this is a good thing for your life. I would like to welcome into the conversation with us, Attorney Alexander. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself here on This Needs to Be Said, about how you got into bankruptcy practice, and just a little bit about you.
Sure. My name is Alex Adams. I'm a consumer bankruptcy attorney in Portland, Oregon, serving the Oregon area. I got into bankruptcy because it was a way for me to really help people who were in need. And I get to help more than sort of a few people a year. A lot of attorneys are only able to handle a smaller load of cases. But through bankruptcy, I'm able to handle and assist a lot of people in a very meaningful way to get back on their feet and get through some really hard times. And I found that it was a really good fit for my personality and the way I like to sort of give back to the community.
Awesome. So what was your, like, what got you in? Like, did you go to school specifically for bankruptcy? You knew all along that's what you wanted to do, or did something happen and you landed here?
No, it was interesting. I came out to be a trial lawyer to really help sort of individuals against bigger institutions and insurance companies and things like that. And this was in 07, 08 during the financial meltdown. And it just seemed that there was so much need for the services that was going underutilized that I looked into it, and it was something that was something I was readily able to do. I come from a finance background, a business background. I have an MBA in finance and marketing, and I thought that the skill sets in the accounting and the math and things were very much within my interest and what I was able to handle and assist people with.
Okay. All right. Now, I started our conversation out with the guilt of bankruptcy. I want to go with that first question and talk about how to deal with it. And the reason I wanted to jump right on that question, Alex, is because so many people think it's a dirty word. Bankruptcy is a dirty word. It's bad, and you're a bad person for doing that. So let's talk about that.
Sure. You know, it's one of the main things I hear. It takes people so long to come into my office and ask for help and assistance, and it always comes down to the guilt of bankruptcy. I'm not the kind of person that would ever file bankruptcy. My parents didn't raise me that way. I'm the kind of person that always pays my debts. And that's a real challenge to when people are really hurting and needing for help, that there's the guilt they carry around from themselves to not even investigate what bankruptcy is, may or may not be able to do. So there's certainly a stigma that happens with bankruptcy that's associated with the guilt of walking away from your obligations. And the way I've explained bankruptcy before is there's sort of a difference between the legal and the moral obligations that you may have with you. I'm a lawyer. I deal with the legal obligations. What I eliminate is the legal right for other people to chase after you for debt, to liquidate your assets and things like that. On the other side of that is the moral side that you may feel. If you have the moral sides, look at bankruptcy as a pause. It's an opportunity for you to free yourself from debt collection calls, from garnishments, from letters, from phone calls and things like that. But it doesn't have to be permanent. Although the debt collectors after bankruptcy are not able to come back after you, you can always go on your own accord and arrange payments after the fact when you're in a better position to get back on your feet. So it's an opportunity to sort of catch your breath, move forward, and if you need to come back to it for guilt reasons later to revisit it, you're more than able to do it. And there's a number of famous people that, in fact, after bankruptcy went on to become very successful in their own right and went back and paid their debts back. So that's one of the tools that I give people to use when they face that moral dilemma of, I can't feed my family, but I can't file bankruptcy.
And that's a hard place to be in because it's so much of what we were told growing up of, you know, do the right thing, you know. So I could see a lot of people's hesitation in even approaching it because they've heard from non-lawyer people how bad it is and how wrong it is. Now, you said something that could definitely lead us into our next question. You said that someone got use bankruptcy to reset their lives, get on track, and eventually came back and paid off those they owed. And I think that can give a person a good feeling, especially if they're still battling with, I just want to do the right thing, even through filing bankruptcy, because it's legally not wrong. And it helps you, you know, get back on the right track. And you're saying, hey, when you're in a better position, sure, you can do that. You know, you can do what you believe would have been the right thing all along, but you just can't right now. And you need the help. And a lot of us, too, pride will keep us from asking for help or even, you know, investigating, like you said. So the next question I wanted to go to is about people. Of course, we have cars. We got to get around, get our families around or whatever. How can we pay off our car and reinstate our mortgage through bankruptcy? Is that even possible?
It is. So, you know, one of the main things that we help people with is stopping foreclosure sales and stopping repossessions, or in certain cases, actually after repossessions of a car, if it's within a few weeks, oftentimes we can get the car back and restructure a monthly payment plan through what's called a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. There's two kinds of bankruptcy that most consumers file: Chapter 7, which is a liquidation bankruptcy. It's very cost effective, it's very inexpensive, and it's very quick. But you lose a lot of assets. Oftentimes you are giving up real estate or other properties. In the other type of chapter, called Chapter 13, it's a reorganization bankruptcy. And a lot of people look at it as a sort of a fixed refinance, where we end up reducing your debts down to a single monthly payment. There are certain debts you have to pay, for instance, mortgage arrears and the balance on your car and things like that, over typically 36 to 60 months. And in exchange for that payment to the court, your car gets paid, your mortgage gets reinstated, and oftentimes your medical bills and your unsecured debt that you would get rid of in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy are also eliminated. So people look at it as sort of a large-scale refinance to get back on track, and it's the more powerful of the two bankruptcies, and it prevents foreclosures and gets cars paid off in a pretty straightforward fashion.
That sounds very powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Now, let's say I file bankruptcy with you today. How fast am I getting back to moving forward in my life?
Well, it really depends, but oftentimes, if you're filing bankruptcy today, usually within the next pay period or two, garnishments stop, phone calls stop typically within a few days, collection letters stop, lawsuits grind to a halt, foreclosures are stopped instantly. At the actual moment of filing bankruptcy, everybody in the bankruptcy world is granted a stay, which is a stop order, or another way to look at it would be sort of a restraining order against all debt collection. It's automatic. It's granted in every bankruptcy case, and it's instantaneous. So the relief with bankruptcy stems essentially from the moment we file the case, and you can see it with my clients a week or two after filing, the sort of pressure relief that's off their shoulders. The shoulders are higher. They're standing more upright. Their voice has a kick to it that you don't see.
Absolutely.
It's one of the joys of doing bankruptcy is I know that's the result that my clients are going to get, and they don't know that, so I get to sort of lead them to that joy and that pressure relief. It's a wonderful feeling.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this question about your thoughts about bankruptcy before you actually went into practicing it. Can you identify so well with people's guilt because you were raised like many of us to do the right thing and bankruptcy is bad, or did you already know that bankruptcy was actually a tool that would help you reset?
You know, candidly, I didn't know a whole lot about bankruptcy until I got into it to learn about sort of the ins and outs and how it works. And you know, to me, it was just a legal tool initially to solve a problem, which is really what the legal system is set up to figure out. It wasn't until I did it for a couple of years and I helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that I was able to identify that was a real source of consternation among the people that I was helping. They couldn't, mm-hmm. they were stuck and they couldn't get unstuck because the guilt that they've grown up with was really, really oppressing them in a way that was counterproductive to the end goal, with the end goal being to get on back on their feet. And if they felt they needed to pay their debts down the road, they were able to do that. So it's something we talk about routinely, and I do have a chapter in my book about sort of the bankruptcy guilt scenario. Sure.
Great segue. Tell us a little bit about your book, Attorney Alex.
Oh, I have a book called Navigating the Debt Relief Maze, which is Chapter 13 and 7 explained, which explains in Oregon sort of the process, the basic processes of Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 bankruptcy. I wrote it for the non-attorney, and one of the criticisms attorneys have is we're always talking very lofty to each other about cases and courts and statutes and things like that, and I find that to be it's boring to write and it's boring to read. So I put out a little guide. I put out a guide that's really designed to people considering bankruptcy to explain sort of, like, this is what it is, this is what it can do for you, and you know, if you should know the nitty-gritty of it, because it's not what you think it is. It's oftentimes much more powerful, much more straightforward, and much more useful for people who are struggling with debts, who have, you know, an unexpected medical bill or just thousands of dollars of credit cards or divorces and things like that. There's lots of reasons why people end up in debt, but it's pretty shocking that they never even consider bankruptcy when, in a lot of cases, it's one of the most powerful ways to quickly get you back on your feet. So I put that guide out to sort of offer up what I can share with people and see if it can benefit the community.
How can people get a copy of your book?
They can go to my website, Portland BK. We send books out to anybody in the state of Oregon who is interested in learning more about bankruptcy and considering bankruptcy as an option to their financial problems. PortlandBK.com.
Awesome. And if they want to talk with you outside of this interview, how do they get in touch with you?
Certainly. You can call my office at 503-278-5400. That's 278-5400. We offer no-cost consultations for first-time visits for people considering filing bankruptcy.
Awesome. I want to say thank you so much for stopping by This Needs to Be Said and sharing this with us, and I look forward to us talking again next month. So have a great day.
Thank you. I look forward to it.